We're glad to have today a new relationship with some of our young people, having obeyed the gospel and become members of the body of Christ and in Christ Jesus, and it's a good thing to do. And we sing these songs together because they initiated camp ideals, but it's also a good thing for us as adults to know that. And in the creation time, we give the idea of the hippo song for a real purpose, for real purpose. In the beginning, God made the sea, and the forest filled with trees, made the mountains up so high. And at the top, he placed the sky. His fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much he cared. In the middle, he had some fun, and he made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Yeah, God made all of us. And the worship that we do is for this Creator God who made all of these things and made all the ways in which he did and wanted us to serve him. And so we follow his word and his teaching. Oh Lord, prepare me to be the sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Will be a living sanctuary for you. And when we find ourselves being the sanctuary for God, he lives within, and we worship him accordingly. Good to be with you today. The study that we've done in regard to the uniqueness of the church of our Lord, we need to talk about the unique worship of the church of the Lord as well. Because in the scripture we find that he tells us that God is a spirit, and that he seeks true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. As a result of that, we find in the teaching of the Bible where there were those who did not worship God in spirit and in truth, and they found themselves worshiping according to what they liked and wanted, such as the brethren in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 16, we read in chapter 11, verse 16, beginning there, we read where they were not partaking of the Lord's Supper as they should have been. They were partaking of their own supper. It seems that historically, we're told, that they mixed up their regular foods, the regular things that they did. They brought their barbecues and they brought their loaves of bread and they brought all the other things there for the service. And they were partaking of that along with the way they were partaking of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. But that wasn't the thing that they really wanted to emphasize. They wanted to emphasize their love for one another and their love doing it. They were in a hurry in doing that. When they got into that service, they didn't care that others were not present. They didn't care that others had not arrived yet. They were rushing on to do that. And Paul urges them to delay until they all come together, and to so eat the bread, which represented the body of Jesus Christ, and the blood, to drink of the fruit of the vine, to represent his blood, because it was shed for the remission of their sins. He tells them that what they're eating is not the Lord's Supper, but their own supper. And that they actually are eating, in the process of doing that, condemnation for their own souls. Sad it is that that was the case for the brethren at Corinth, and they realized the truthfulness of what Paul was saying. And they repented. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we read where they repented unto life. They found themselves not wishing to continue that way of life and doing that. They slowed down their service. They were allowing the others to come and be with them in it. And as a result of that, they enjoyed the worship of God now and the blessings of God from that worship. The unique feature about the church of the Lord in the New Testament of the Bible is that this is the church of God which is at Corinth, according to 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 and 2, sanctified in Christ Jesus. They were set apart to serve Jesus and set apart to serve his right way. And as a result of that, the church of God, which was at Corinth, was that congregation that was eating and drinking condemnation to their souls as they misused the Lord's Supper, made it their own supper, and were misusing the Lord's Supper. They were taught how to correct that, and they did correct it. And to their credit, they're praised by God, saying there in 2 Corinthians 7 that they repented and they brought about life for themselves. Wonderful blessing came about for them because they did turn back from that way of eating and drinking, condemnation of their souls. What do we think about when we have the bread? We try to emphasize that as the men who lead the way up this way, to remember that that's the body of Jesus Christ. And we try to emphasize that in the prayer that's said regarding that matter. We don't pray like Jesus prayed. Jesus was a sinless Son of God who prayed at that time of initiating the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26:26-29. But he does partake of the Lord's Supper with us in a spiritual way. He said, I will not eat henceforth and I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He told the disciples there in Matthew 26:29. What did he do? Well, he was going to be in heaven. It would be a new way. He would be in heaven itself, honoring the fact that we were partaking of his body and his blood, remembering him till I come again. Well, when's he coming again? He did not know. In Matthew 24, he very vividly said, I do not know the day of my return. My Father only knows. Then he goes on to tell us that there would be signs in regard to that time. It would be the common signs of evil and wrongdoing, as it was in the days of Noah, so would it be in the coming of the sons of man. As it was in the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, never knew it, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He says that in the day in which he comes, it'll be a sinful day. People will be not thinking about it. They'll not even be looking for it. It may be in the night when we're sleeping. As he goes on to talk about that idea, it may be that when we're at rest, we're awakened suddenly by the voice of the archangel, and the Lord himself will come. Some people will be abed, somebody will be asleep at that time. Somebody will be awake and alert at that time. But the idea is that he suddenly will come. And as a result of that, we appreciate the fact that he's assured us that he'll come for us and he'll come to deliver us. And it's a joy in the Lord to have that particular idea in front of us. As we live life from day to day, we worship the Lord in the Lord's Supper, remembering him till he comes again. He will come again and take us unto himself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's at the Father's right hand. He's there in his work and the will that he was doing. And he prayed to the Father as he ended his career here on this earth. In John 17 at verse 4, Father, I have done what thou hast sent me to do. Restore unto me the glory that I shared with thee before the world was. There was a glory and a light, a joy that he had before the world ever came about. As a result of that, he asked for that to be once again his with the Heavenly Father. He was fulfilling the Father's will. Hebrews chapter 10 vividly shows us about Jesus and how that he was one unique person in heaven itself. He said, I will go and I will do thy will, O God. The Father apparently had announced his will to send someone from heaven, put in human flesh, and live that way on earth as a man here on earth. As a result of that, he would be punished and rejected by those who wanted to follow their traditions. As a result of that, they would find him and they would put him to death. But as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, so would the Son of Man just be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. And he would come forth. His enemies heard that about him. They listened to that and they paid attention to it. The disciples were there. They heard it. They didn't particularly pay attention to it. When this took place, they felt like their leader was gone. We go back a fishing again, they said. And others said, we'll fear of this and we'll hide in an upper room. We'll hide away. And as a result of that, we don't know what's going to happen. Let's let this go by for a little while before we get out in the public again. And so there they were. But the enemies of Jesus came back to Pilate and said, this deceiver said, that in 3 days he would rise. Send forth now an extra watch to the tomb. Send that watch up to the tomb, lest the disciples steal his body away, claim that he is resurrected, and the latter mistake be worse than the first. Listen to what they call Jesus' life. A mistake. It is a mistake for him to say in heaven, Hebrews 10, he said, Father, I will go and do thy will, O God. It's written in the volume of the book concerning me. I will go and do thy will, O God. He said the whole of that Old Testament book is talking about me coming. And I will go and do thy will, O God. Jesus came to earth and he did that will. He wanted to be restored to that glory that the Father had with him before the world was. And now then, here he is here. And the hope and the ideals of his life are such that pass down to you and me today. As we worship God uniquely in spirit and in truth, we find ourselves appreciating deeply what Jesus' body did for us and what his blood does for us. What a blessing. We have forgiveness because it's occurred. That means that yesterday's gone. The things of yesterday we can never be truthfully accused of anymore. Oh, there may be an old enemy somewhere along the way that says, I know where you live, and I don't really believe this commitment that you made to Jesus' sake. I don't really believe that. And so they talk about the things that we used to be and used to do and used to live. But that's not going to be the case with those who are truly converted to the Lord. They have no one at the judgment scene. The Holy Spirit is going to be there at the judgment scene. He'll bear record with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 8 vividly talks about that work of the Holy Spirit, that he will bear record of our spirit that we are the children of God. He knows if we sincerely were there to obey the Lord. He knows if we're sincerely trying to live for him from day to day. And so we are in a unique relationship in his church as we pray together and we pray for one another, and as we sometimes realize that what we've done is going to be a heavy reflection upon the Lord's church. We come forward, we let it be known for somebody who will lead us in prayer and lead that prayer for me today. That what I've done this week and what I've said this week and how I've behaved, misbehaved this week will never be an influential thing on some people out here in the world. And as a result of that kind of prayer that's been done, I've been delivered from that. No one can truthfully accuse me of the event going on, that it was wrong and there was misdeeds that were done. This is the unique spirit and the unique way of the church of the Lord. And as we live and do that, what a blessing we have. We had a number of folks that found themselves in this way. Had a young man this last week that he was invited to come and work with us a little bit. And he's not been faithful in attendance of the worship of the Lord. But we thought we could influence for good, and his parents thought, and they asked if he could come, and I said yes, and he spent some time with us sleeping every night in the director's cabin. Because always when I get in the director's cabin, when people are there, and he was there first night, I can say, would all of you say a word of prayer with me, and I'll start out the prayer, and I won't say amen to it. You can say in Jesus' name amen at the end of the prayer. So we had that first night. They were rested and everything, you know. And we had five or six of them there. We were there. And so I started out that prayer. And I prayed in regard to what our lives would be and what they could be. And how that we would be forgiven of everything gone by. That you have the blood of Jesus that you look to for the cleansing of our sins. And that you look to it and that you know about it. And you know what we do, and you know how sincere we are. And the Spirit of God bears record with our spirit that we are now the sons of God. We're faithful to God. In the process of that, I turned to him to the next prayer. And he prayed a prayer for himself first, and prayed a prayer for all the rest of us. Lord, I've not been what I ought to be. Please forgive me. And for all these others I pray for now. Help them to realize what I didn't realize. Sin is a vain thing. It's empty. It's no good to come to it. Help us. Was he sincere about it for the rest of that week? It looked like he was. It looks like that he was committed to it. Everything about it was positive. And this young man became dedicated to it. Was a wonderful song leader. We didn't know it, but he was there. He was willing to volunteer to do that. And once he volunteered, he was such a song leader that all the speakers thereafter have a role of asking someone to lead singing for them. They ask him to lead the singing for them. Everybody was enjoying it so well. He was enjoying it so well. And as a result of his talent that he had, he could use it for the Lord's sake. We're talking about a way of life that is unique. We can come back to the Lord at any time. By repentance and prayer, Simon was told he could come back to the Lord. And he asked Peter to pray for him in Acts 8:22. That's the unique thing about the church of the Lord, the unique thing about the people of God as they worship the Lord. As a close today, let's talk about our singing. The singing that we do is to be with the Spirit and understanding also, according to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. As we sing with the Spirit and understanding also, that means that we are enthusiastic about it. We're within the spiritual realm of it to be done. And we want to sing with understanding of words that are being spoken. I want to speak the words of truth. I want to speak the words that are accurate. Sometimes I go to the dictionary after a song is sung and I look up a word and find out what the old meaning of that word was. And I find a new idea about it. And there's some songs, frankly, I can't sing very well. Tears come to my eyes and a lump comes to my throat when the song is announced, much less when it's sung, that these words mean something to me. They are meaningful for me. And I thank the Lord for His precious forgiveness and His precious ways of life. But you know, the singing done in the New Testament time was to be spoken. In Ephesians 5 at verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Where is that melody to be made? On a piano, on an organ, on an external thing? In your heart to the Lord. So in the early parts of the restoration plea, it was honored. When did the mechanical instruments of music come into worship of churches? They searched and searched about 600 A.D. Came into use. It was a matter where it just wasn't there before that time. What did they do before that time? They sang and made melody in their heart to the Lord. They spoke those words, speaking to one another. The idea of the songs being written of hymns is the idea of how you and I are speaking to one another. When we talk about when you do this, he's talking about when you. Each one does this. As songs are written and sung, we remember what he's done for each of us. And thus we find ourselves, instead of being enamored by a special, you know, not all of us would be called upon to play the piano or the organ. We don't have that ability. We don't have that unique musical talent. We would have one person who has that unique ability to always come and play. And eventually we would get enamored by the things that they do rather than our worship of God in spirit and in truth. And the blending of our voices together in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We'll sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord rather than play and make melody upon a mechanical instrument. If that command is given there in Ephesians 5:19, it means for everybody to speak to one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. It means for everybody to be playing. Would it not be? I know it would be if I were pointing at things. Wouldn't it be an atrocious sound if we all were beating and banging on sounds to get it done? When we can blend together and it makes a wonderful melody. The brethren down in Belize say that. They say y'all just sound like it must be a wonderful congregation. Well, it is. is that there being a voice, where the voices blend together. And in the instrumental, in the internet stuff, instead of instrumental, they find themselves singing along with us until they learn the words of the song. Then they sing those songs steadily without being with us singing those songs. And as a result of that, these brethren are talking about us from the standpoint of what we sing and how we sing and the new songs that we sing from time to time. They are enthused about it. The blending is such nature that they don't hear the rank and file of somebody's voice. They hear the blend that we do it together. That's the unique thing about the worship of God as we sing together. And we sing in spirit and in truth. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, would you not think about your relationship to the Lord and the way in which you can be restored to that love and that right way and come to Him as we stand together and as we sing together today.
Will you come, will you come with your poor broken heart, burdened and sin
oppressed, lay it down at the cross of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest, happy rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come, will you come? How He pleads with you now. Fly to His loving breast. And wherever the sin or your sorrow may be, Jesus will give you.
Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story.
Thank you, God, for the rest of us and forgive us for our